1, 2, 3, hit it.
Welcome to You Can Have What You Want with your host, Michael Neal.
Hello, hello. We are going to be talking about mental movie making today. And throughout the show, we're going to be taking your call. So if you want to unleash the power of your visual mind in creating your own life and having more of what you want, the numbers to phone are 1-866-254-1579. That's the toll-free number, 1-866-254-1579. Or if you're calling from outside the United States, you can ring us on 001-760-918-4300. So I was sort of thinking about where to begin the show, because I live in Hollywood and I've been doing lots of Hollywood things, hanging out, working on TV show ideas and working with folks what make movies. And it was just asking them. I told some of the people that I work with, some of my clients in the movie business, that this was the show that I was doing and got ideas. And one of the interesting things that that one of my clients pointed out to me was he talked me through a little thought experiment. So he said, imagine you're watching a movie, and there's a young girl, and she's walking down the stairs into a dark cellar. Now, this is a movie based on a Stephen King novel. So as you watch the young girl walking down the stairs into the dark cellar, how do you feel? What do you think's going to happen to the girl? Now, he then kind of, you know, snapped me out of it. It was like, ah! You know, because I'd gotten totally lost in my mind in this little scenario he was painting. He said, okay, you're watching another movie. And in this movie, there's also going to be a scene with a young girl walking down the stairs in the dark cellar. Now, this is a Disney movie, and it's written by the people who made the Winnie the Pooh series. So you're watching this sort of, you know, Winnie the Pooh-style movie made by Disney. Young girl's walking down the stairs into a dark cellar. How do you feel? What do you think's going to happen to the girl? Now, chances are, just by knowing that one movie is based on Stephen King and one movie is based on Walt Disney, you have a very different feeling, even though the same things are happening. So one of the keys that movie makers use, but that you can also use as you begin to create movies in your own mind to create the kind of life that you want, is the context really matters. Because so many of our feelings and reactions in life are based on just our expectations of how things are going to turn out. And the expectations are based on usually sort of like a best guess, given what we know or think we know about the people involved and how things have turned out in the past. In other words, given the context that we have for our movie. So if the context that you've got for your life right now is, well, I'm one of those people that things never work out for, or, you know, my whole life has been kind of just a bad comedy, or my whole life has been, you know, just this side of a horror film. Or, in fact, you know, my life is like one of those sweet romantic comedies where things always turn out well in the end. Just by nature of that context, the kinds of movies you make in your mind, the kinds of things you make up about how things are going to go, will be completely different. And so here's just a little key to remember, which is that whichever way you're seeing the movies in your mind, you're making up the ending. Because if you're thinking about the future, and that's kind of what most people are doing, they're either running movies about the past or running movies about the future, whichever way you see it, you're making up the ending because it hasn't happened yet. So just, you know, as an experiment this week, make up everything in your life, every little fantasy about the future. Try making it up with a happy ending. So, you know, any problems you might be facing with your job, your relationships, or your life, just spend the day thinking about them as if you know that it's all going to turn out well in the end, as if your life is, in fact, you know, a movie made by whoever your favorite movie maker is, or whoever you most would like to be in that kind of a movie. I remember one of the key distinctions, again, just before I go on, the numbers to call if you want to get in, talking about how to increase your ability to visualize. I know some people think, oh, I can't see pictures in my head, and there's some very easy things that we can do to help get you started. But also to enhance the movies, and also just really to talk about any aspect of creating your own life, having more of what you want. The numbers to call are 1-866-254-1579, or outside the United States, 001-760-918-4300. You know, if that sort of analogy, that exercise that my client told me about is when you look at movies about the future, in a way, if you think about something that you worry about, chances are that part of how you worry is like the voice in your head. And I've talked about that on past shows, you know, oh, it's never going to work out. Oh, my God, terrible things are going to happen. Oh, this is going to be awful. you know, cheery voice to listen to. And chances are that if you're really good at worrying, you're making movies in your mind of things turning out badly. You're probably running scenarios, running these little movies of, you know, you or someone who looks and sounds remarkably like you in these different situations, and things aren't going well. And now there's a few little tricks that you probably will recognize from the movies that you probably are using in your brain to either make things feel worse or make things feel better. So one simple trick is the point of view of the camera. So if you think about a scene in a movie, if I want to show you somebody riding on a roller coaster, okay, I could just pull back and you could see the roller coaster in the distance and you could sort of see the person riding. But now if that was all we did, and in a movie I want to get you caught up in the experience, well, you're probably not going to get very caught up. So there are a few different things I might try. I might try putting the camera first person so it looks like I'm looking right through your eyes. Now, it's what we call, you know, being right associated into the movie. And if you do that, if you imagine going down a roller coaster, you know, associated in where the camera's just tracking it through your eyes and you can see the track up ahead and you can see that point where everything disappears and then you see that whoosh down there, you know, chances are that gets you engaged more than that shot from the distance. You could also do the over-the-shoulder shot where you're sort of looking down over your shoulder. You can also do lots of neat cuts to people screaming. And again, if you want to make it scary, show them screaming in fear. And if you want to make it fun, show them screaming with joy. And just the way that they cut the movie together tells you how you're supposed to feel. And the way that you cut the movies in your head together tells your body how it's supposed to react to those movies, whether they're there to encourage it and inspire it, or whether they're to scare the living crap out of it. And again, you know, if you're good at worrying, you've probably gotten good at using a lot of the tricks. You know, one of the other things that they do in movies is add a soundtrack. Well, imagine again, we're on the roller coaster and they've got, you know, sort of the thumping sort of Jaws type music, da 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 da, as the roller coaster goes up to the top and it's da 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 da, up to the top, up to the top. Now, you know, if you watch the exact same movie, but they put the wrong soundtrack on, You know, the roller coaster is going up and up and up, and on the soundtrack it's, we've only just begun, you know, or you've got whatever it is, you know, circus music. It feels different. And again, the trick is to recognize that you're the movie maker. You're the star of the movie. You're the director. You're the writer. You've got control over every aspect of the production. And you even have control over how you play it back. And we'll talk more about that in another segment. But the way I really got this connection one day, I was rehearsing a play and it was a play where I was playing, it was a play called Extremities. And I was playing, basically an attempted rapist. And he was, for the bulk of the play, and you may have seen the movie, I think Farrah Fawcett starred in the movie. You know, my character was tied in a fireplace, and it was really sort of the negotiation between the women who were essentially going to kill this guy, and this guy who, in fairness, was going to do very bad things to them. Now, that was just a play, but the guy who had originally been cast in the role that I wound up taking over had kind of flipped out being a method actor and had actually started threatening the girls in the production, and of course he was fired immediately. But he started sending threatening notes and making phone calls saying that he was going to turn up to the theater and just jump on stage and attack people. Now, as I was going to be tied in the fireplace during the play, I was particularly concerned about this. You know, I think everyone probably was. But what I realized is that I was scaring myself by making movies where I was the sort of tragic hero trapped in the fireplace, you know, essentially getting beaten up by a madman. And because I didn't even know what this guy looked like at first, you know, I cast this really scary looking guy in the movie in my head. And consequently, you know, was very good at terrifying myself about it. But at the same time, I was planning a training. And when I plan a training, I do scenario planning where I run through everything that could go wrong and figure out how I'd solve it. And I realized, because I was doing both these things at the same time, worrying and scenario planning, that the only difference between the movies I made when I was worrying and the movies I made when I was basically scenario planning for a training was that in the worry movie, I always lost. In the scenario planning movie, I kept working at it till I won. I made sure that there was a happy ending. And so what I started doing is I just changed that mental movie. I changed that movie in my head so that even in the movie where I was in the play, every time I would make sure that somehow we all came out all right. And just by making that one shift, just by adding in the happy ending, just by being willing to tweak the movie in that way, it became a completely different kind of a movie. It became something very enjoyable. We're going to be talking more about that, more about tricks you can do to make the movies in your mind more powerful, and also how you can use them to create more of what you want in your life. I'm Michael Neal. You're listening to You Can Have What You Want.
Welcome back to You Can Have What You Want with your host, Michael Neal.
Welcome back indeed. We are talking about the secrets of mental movie making. And I'd like to talk to you. I'd like to talk to you about unleashing the power of your mind, the power of your visual mind, visualizations and things like that, and creating your own life, having more of what you want. Particularly interested to call in if you have trouble seeing visual images, if you're one of those people who goes, well, you know, I've tried those visualization things, and I just, you know, I can sort of see vague shapes or colors or something, but I just, you know, I can't really visualize. And I'd love to have you on because I can take you through a process that within just a few minutes will get you seeing clearer visual images. In the meantime, let me sort of just continue on. Before the break, I was telling you a true story about how I sort of really got the difference between worry, which was just basically a movie that has either an unhappy ending or continually loops back to the same point, and scenario planning, which are a series of movies with a series of different happy endings. And there's a great little game that you can play. It comes out of the Hawaiian shamanic tradition. Most people are aware of the Native American shamanic tradition of the vision quest, where a young warrior coming of age is sent out into nature to find a vision of the purpose of their lives. And in Hawaiian shamanism, there's sort of a less dramatic form of that vision quest. I tend to call them success adventures. And a trainee shaman sent up in their mind in order to increase their flexibility, creativity, and power. So, you know, even though this is a mental exercise that I'm about to talk you through, it seems, in my experience, and I've been doing this for, gosh, over 15 years now, to have a remarkable impact on the physical world. So for the purpose of this, I'm going to ask you to play along at home. Choose a goal to work with, and it can be as important a goal or as insignificant a goal as you want. And when you've chosen the goal, I also want you to just decide what the key obstacle to achieving your goal is. Now, you may be thinking, well, there are so many obstacles. How do I choose one? Just for now, choose the one that you find most difficult. Even if it isn't, if other people wouldn't necessarily agree, oh yes, that's the difficult one. Pick the one that you find the most difficult to deal with. Now, when you're ready, I want you to allow your mind to give you an image or a symbol that represents the goal, what it is that you want, and then another image or symbol which represents the obstacle. And, you know, if your mind doesn't want to give you anything, you can just go ahead and make something up. It works just as well. Now, when you've got that symbol or image that represents the goal, and you have another image or symbol that represents the obstacle, then your mission, should you choose to accept it, is to overcome the obstacle and reach your goal in as many different ways as you can think of. So you can do this in mental pictures. So if you are somebody who is already finds, you know, mental imagery fairly easy to do, you can do it like a series of movies in your mind, where in each movie you're off on a quest and you find another way to reach the goal. So I remember when I was first wanting to work in television, and I thought my obstacle was lack of contact. And I remember getting I got a clearer image of a mountaintop for the goal, but nothing came up when I was sort of asking my mind for an image for the obstacle. So I just chose an eagle who's going to try and stop me from getting to the top of the mountain. Now, each time I went through, I ran a different movie. So on the first adventure, I saw the eagle coming, and I threw rocks at the eagle to scare him away, and I climbed to the top of the mountain, and it was great. You know, I got to celebrate. Then I ran another version of the movie, my second adventure, and the eagle came in, and I sent a girl eagle up to distract him, and then just kind of snuck up to the top of the mountain. Then I did another version of the movie, another success adventure. And in that one, I befriended the eagle. I climbed onto his back, and I caught a lift to the top of the mountain. And then in one of the other adventures, I do remember that I actually threw a lasso over the mountain and pulled it down to where I was standing, and the eagle didn't even know what to do about that one. So when you're doing this for yourself, remember, the only limits are the limits that you put, because this is all happening in your imagination. And so many of the things that we don't get in life, that we don't even go for in life, we don't go for because we think we've run the movie, and in our movie, well, that's just not possible. But good enough movie making makes anything possible, and it's remarkable how many things are really possible in the world once we can make them possible in our own mind. So this is a great exercise you can do anytime, you can do with any goal, and it is just kind of spooky sometimes that, you know, when you've found 15 different ways to get to your goal in your mind, and again, we're playing with an abstraction, we're not actually literally trying to visualize getting to the literal goal, somehow things just seem to open up in the world. And I think it is to do with just that increase in flexibility, that increase in creativity, and tapping into that power of possibility, that sense that, you know what, this is possible. I mean, one thing that I don't know if you've ever said to yourself is, I just can't see myself doing that. Think about it. Have you ever, you've thought about maybe, I don't know, for some people it was, oh, well, I could never go into sales. You know, I just can't see myself doing that. Oh, well, I could never speak in public. I could never go up on stage in front of all those people. I just can't see myself doing that. Well, it's interesting that for most of the people that I work with who say things like that, they mean it literally. They actually can't, or really in most cases haven't, ever pictured themselves doing that. And so it feels and seems very foreign to them. What's interesting is that as soon as you can see it, it becomes much easier to be it. So as soon as you can see yourself doing that, because you take the time to construct the mental movie of yourself doing it, it becomes much easier to do. So again, just for yourself, think about what's something that you'd like to do, or you think you might like to do, but you just can't see yourself doing that. I just can't see myself going on holiday there. I just can't see myself eating at that restaurant. I just can't see myself out with somebody who looks like that. And whatever it is, just for fun right now, I want you to see yourself doing it. Now, a couple of tricks again from the movie making world that can help. If you're having trouble seeing yourself do that, then start by seeing somebody who you know could do it. So very often when somebody comes and they say, "Oh, I'd love to ask this person out on a date, but you know, I just can't see myself doing that." I'll ask, "Who could you see doing that?" "Hey, what do you mean?" And I'll say, "Well, could George Clooney ask her out on a date?" "Well, yeah, of course George Clooney could. You know, if it's the other way around, well, you know, do you think Jessica Alba would have difficulty asking this guy out on a date?" "No, I don't think she would." Well, then see that person, see that role model of possibility do it. Watch how they do it. And again, it's your movie, so you can watch how they do it. And then in your mind, if you want, you can actually step in. So you're seeing through their eyes, hearing through their ears, and almost just experiencing what it might be like to do it as that other person. And then, when you're ready, you can substitute yourself in. And of course, you won't do it in exactly the same way, because you're not exactly the same person. You have your own way of doing things. But you can absolutely learn from these role models. And I used to teach this a lot on trainings, and we still teach it on our NLP trainings. Those of you interested in NLP, neuro-linguistic programming, the trainings that we offer, next one's coming up in London in September. You go to www.paulmckenna.com to read more about that. That's with me and Paul McKenna, who's the world's greatest hypnotist, I do believe that, and also Richard Bandler, who's one of the original creators of NLP back in the early 1970s. But when I teach that kind of an exercise on an NLP training, you know, I ask people to think about the situation and think about the role model. You know, who could they see doing what it is that they'd like to do? And we were doing a session on confidence in one of the trainings. And I remember there was a woman, she must have been in her 70s, you know, fairly feeble looking. And she asked, you know, very, very politely, you know, she raised her hand in the front row. And I was saying, okay, now choose your role model for this. And it could be anyone at all. And she raised her hand and said, "Would it be all right if I chose Arnold Schwarzenegger?" And we all laughed because it was quite a funny idea to imagine this little old woman being Arnold Schwarzenegger. We said, "Of course, because you really can choose anyone who for you it would be easy to see doing what it is that you want to do. And so sure enough, you know, they're doing the exercise. I've got an extra little eye on her, and I'm watching her shoulders go back and her chin go up. And at the end, she's sitting in the front going, "That was absolutely wonderful." And it was absolutely wonderful. And it is absolutely wonderful to just give yourself that kind of freedom, that kind of permission to really see yourself doing things. Now, that doesn't mean in the end you have to do them. In other words, just because you can see yourself doing something doesn't mean that you have to do it. That's very important because sometimes people get scared. Oh, gosh, you know, if I imagine myself doing it, then I've got to do it. Doesn't work that way. What it's about is increasing your possibilities. And the way you make the movies in your mind is either going to increase your possibilities, it's going to make it easier for you to do what it is that you really want to do, or it's going to decrease your possibilities. It's going to make it harder because you're showing movies that show how difficult it is. And, you know, even though we know the movies are all made up, we tend to believe them. Would love to talk to you in the next part of the show. Numbers to call, 1-866-254-1579. That's toll free. 1-866-254-1579. From outside the United States, 001-760-918-4300. And we can talk about how to make your movies better, how to increase your visualization ability, how to create more of what you want in your life, and how to even use this to problem solve. Enjoy. We'll be right back after this short break.
Welcome back to You Can Have What You Want with your host, Michael Neal.
We will be going to the phones in just a minute. If you want to get in this segment or next, numbers to call 1-866-254-1579. That's toll free, 1-866-254-1579. Let's go to Diane in Overland, Missouri. Did I get that right?
Yeah, you got that right.
Hi. How about that? Hey, hi. Welcome to the show. What can I do for you today?
I am so impressed I got through. I'm kind of blown away. I listen to you all the time, and my situation is that, and in fact, the email you wanted was that I thought that I had a God complex. I thought that I was supposed to be.
Could you speak up just a bit, Diane?
Sure. Can you hear me now?
Yeah, thanks.
Okay. I thought that I was on my way. I went to school. I thought I had a God calling. I thought that I was supposed to be doing this thing, and I'm at the end of, you know, I got my BS, and I worked for a couple of years, and now I'm without a job. And I'm like, oh, my goodness. And I kind of lost and a little confused on where to go and what to do. And I thought I'd call and just see if I could get some help with that.
Okay, absolutely. So if you've been listening today, right?
Yeah, well, you know. Not honestly, I haven't.
Oh, no, that's okay. No, I just, then I'll go back through something I was gonna refer back to,
okay.
To something we talked about. Very often when somebody is stuck in something like that, and then logic, you know, you've tried all the logical explorations, then that's a great time to go to the mind and to begin to just explore other ways of looking at things. Because, you know, normally when we think about things, we tend to think about them in words first. You know, we tend to talk through them. Either with ourselves or with our friends. We might even write them down if we're into doing that. But sometimes when you allow yourself to get a little more abstract, you can find new possibilities, even if at first you don't understand them. Are you somebody who remembers their dreams?
Most of them.
Okay, so you know in the dream world how sort of more things are possible?
Right, very nonlinear, right?
Yeah, and the rules don't always apply. Well, in a way, one of the great ways of using visualization and mental movie making to problem solve is because you aren't limited in those ways that, you know, in the real world you might have felt limited. So, you up for a little experiment?
Yeah.
Okay, so here's what I want you to do. I want you to imagine that finding your perfect work, would that be a good phrase for you?
Yeah.
Okay, so that finding your perfect work, I want you to ask your unconscious mind, your visual mind, to just give you an image or a symbol that would represent your perfect work. Can be as abstract and random as it might be in a dream. So just, and again, if it doesn't give you anything, you can just make something up. But what comes up for you when you just ask for an image or a symbol?
First thing that came to me was serenity, was peace.
Was peace. Was it like a peace sign? Was it a
No, I'm sitting in my workroom right now. I have claimed a room in my home,
mm-hmm.
and it has all my stuff in it. I do art and photography and sewing and those kinds of things, and I love this room. And I'm looking out the window, and I'm looking outside into the summer, and I'm really calm right now. And
okay.
So the first thing that I thought of and I saw was the trees and the sky and just calm.
Okay. So the feeling was calm. The image was the trees and the sky.
Yeah.
Okay, great. Now, again, I want you to go back to your unconscious mind, and I want you to ask it to give you an image that represents what's stopping you. That you, it doesn't even have to say what it is. You don't even have to know what's stopping you. You're just asking for something to come up that represents whatever it is, whatever that obstacle is.
Money.
Okay. Was it,
of money, the big fat green, you know, S with lines in it.
Okay, so it was a big money. Dollar sign in the
yeah,
sky.
Yeah, it was a big dollar sign in the sky. It was really clear.
Quick, to the Bat Cave. Okay, so here's what I want you to do. I'm going to ask you to do this three separate times. I'm going to ask you to just talk it through with me, and I'll come along with you. You and I are going to go on three adventures, okay?
And okay.
We're going to go on adventures to this magical place with trees and sky and peace.
Okay.
But it's going to be a little tricky because there's an evil dollar sign.
Okay.
That's going to try and stop us. Now, it might not really be evil, but it sure looks scary.
It looks scary.
Yeah.
It's pretty big.
Okay, so on our first adventure, we're walking along, doo-doo-doo, and we can see off in the distance the trees and the sky where we know peace is, but there's that great big dollar sign between us and it.
Okay.
How are we going to get round it, over it, through it, past it?
We can run really fast.
Okay, on three. Ready? One, two, three. Doo-doo-doo-doo-doo-doo. Oh, no, that's slow motion music. Hang on. Dun 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 dun. Okay, go. Are we there yet?
Yeah.
Yeah. Fantastic. So just take a moment to enjoy that sense of peace.
Oh, it's behind us.
Okay. Now, as if by magic, we're back where we were, and we can still see that wonderful place with the trees and the sky and the peace, and there's that big dollar sign, and we've got to do something completely different this time. So how are we going to get past, round, through? How are we going to get to that place this time?
Climb over.
Okay, great. So, do you got the ropes?
Yep, here they are.
All right, great.
I'm over.
Okay.
Okay.
All right. It's quite nice here.
Yeah.
That wasn't so bad. Okay, one more time for luck. Because as if by magic, we're back where we are. And it probably feels a little closer. Maybe, I know certainly in my imagination, it got a little closer now. The dollar sign got a little smaller.
Yeah.
But we're gonna just do it one more time. Because you can do this as many times as you want when you get, you know, off the air. You can continue to play with it. But this time, how are we going to get there?
We're going to walk past it.
Just great?
We're going to push past it this time.
All right, great.
Because it's a whole lot smaller. It's a whole lot easier.
All right. And if you don't mind, I'm going to offer to buy it a drink. Because, you know, I don't know. I feel mean now. Okay, let me know when we're there.
We're there.
Okay. So that's your homework. Is each time, and you can ask your unconscious, it might give you different symbols, but each time that you can get to that place in your imagination, it's like a little message to the rest of you that this really is possible in the real world. And again, all I can tell you is I can't really explain it, but the easier you find it to get there in your mind, in your imagination, in your mental movies, for some reason, the easier it is in the real world. You willing to play with that?
Yeah, I am.
All right. Thank you very much for phoning in. Nice to hear your voice.
Thanks a lot.
Okay, let's go to Sue in Washington. Sue, welcome to the show. What can I do for you today?
Hi. Hi, nice to talk to you.
And you.
About a year ago, I got into meditating and really got really good at it. And I took it a step farther and started, almost like you said, running movies.
Mm-hmm.
Through my head of what I wanted or what I needed in life, and I mean it was just so much fun. And as I watched these things come to be, as I meditated on these things, I used it all the time.
Mm-hmm.
And then we had a big move in our life. We moved from East Coast to West Coast, and I just feel lost now. I just can't get there anymore, and I can't really get into meditating anymore, and I really can't get these things to happen.
Okay, so let me ask you a couple of questions. When you say you can't, there's almost, it sounds like, three different things there. There's, I can't get this, get things to happen. I can't get myself to meditate, and I can't find my way.
And
while they probably are connected, they are separate. So let's just take them one at a time.
Okay.
So let's just, and the one that I'm going to start with is the one that you have the most control over. Because,
uh-huh.
you know, when somebody says to me, I can't get myself to meditate,
uh-huh.
I kind of know what you mean. Because, you know, I've gone through phases in my life where I haven't meditated and phases in my life where I have. But at the same time, I also know that really it's about sitting down. That's kind of all there is to it. I mean, yes, it helps if it's quiet. Yes, it helps if you're going to be uninterrupted for 10 minutes, 20 minutes, half an hour, however long you like to do it. Yes, it helps if your mind is a bit more settled. But in the end, really, it's just about sitting down. And in fact, you don't even have to sit down, depending what kind of meditation you do. So if I were to just say to you, okay, you know, when we're done on the air here, just sit down and meditate. Would you do it, or would something seem to stop you?
Oh, I'd absolutely do it.
Okay. So when we're done on the air here, what I want you to do is sit down and meditate. I'm not going to finish there, but let's just get that one out of the way.
All okay? right.
That's something, you know, you know, it's like people, I love it when people come to me and they say, hey, I helped develop a weight loss program in the UK that's been very successful. So written about, if you want to find out more about it, again, paulmckenna.com, or there's a great book that we put together called I Can Make You Thin by Paul McKenna. And you know, people will come after losing all sorts of weight on the system, and they'll say, yeah, well, no, it was great for 3 months, but it stopped working. And we just laugh because it didn't stop working. They stopped doing it. You know, there's a certain element of that. Absolutely. Listen, Sue, are you good to hang on over the break?
Sure.
Okay, so you hang on over the break, and we'll talk more about the other two elements of what's going on for you when we get back. If you want to get in the final segment, the number to call, toll-free, 1-866-254-1579, or from outside the United States, 001-760-918-4300. I'm Michael Neal. You're listening to You Can Have What You Want.
Welcome back to You Can Have What You Want with your host, Michael Neal.
We are talking about mental movie making, and we're talking with Sue in Washington. Sue, welcome back. Hey, Sue, you still with us?
Yes, I am.
Fantastic. Okay, so we talked about the meditation, and really that in the end comes down to it's just something that you do. You know, it's one of those that you do or don't do. We can make up a whole story about why you do or don't do it, but in the end, the story is less important than doing it.
Right.
But let's that's going to, just doing that is going to make a big difference. It's one of those annoying things that it sometimes is just that simple. You know, we all like to think of ourselves as very complex human beings, but in the end, sometimes, you know what? When I do these things, my life works better than when I don't. You know, it's a pain, and you know, it means effectively, you know, that I can't really charge as much because that's not really deep advice, but it is that simple very often. But let's just take a quick look at those other two things that you mentioned, which is you not really having a sense of your footing. It sounds, you know, almost like you're feeling a bit lost. And then also not being able to make things happen. What is it that, given that you're lost, I'm wondering what it is that you would want to make happen? In other words, when you've got a very clear sense of purpose and direction, then it makes sense to try and create stuff. But when you don't really know where you're going, then creating stuff's probably not a great idea, at least in terms of, you know. So talk to me.
Well, when we made this huge move in our life, when I got here, I felt almost a loss of my spirituality. Not a loss, but, you know, like I wasn't connected to it anymore. So I kept meditating and asking for guidance and, you know, give a sign. Or I know that when I used to meditate and ask for things or look for things before, I mean, they would just appear. I mean, I would say, show me that, you know, let me know that you're still with me. Drop me a feather. And a feather, you know, I'd find a feather or, you know, a coin or something, you know, whatever. And it just always seemed to happen. And I came here and I'd meditate and I'd ask for signs and I would, you know, look for them and, you know, nothing ever happened. And it was like almost like, you know, I had lost it.
Mm-hmm. And now what did you move from East Coast to West Coast?
Yeah.
Yeah, it's a different dialect, that's all. No, there is an element to that. It's that, you know, you can become dependent. We all do this. We become sort of dependent on one mode of communicating with spirit.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, no, spirit is good. You know, it's going to give me a sign. It's the old joke, you know, the woman on, who climbs up to the top of her roof and, you know, the there's flooding and the car comes by to get her, the boat comes by to get her, the helicopter comes by to get her, but no, spirit's going to save me.
Yeah.
You know, and she dies, uh-huh. And she goes, well, but I believed, I prayed, I meditated, what happened? And, you know, the spirit says, well, you know, I sent a car, a boat, and a helicopter, give me a break. You know, we get so caught up in, it's gotta appear to me in this way, that we miss that it's always present anyways. So what I'm going to suggest to you, when you sit down to meditate, I'm going to suggest you do something, you may do things like this anyways, but I'm going to just suggest, just for a few days at least, you try something that might be a little bit different.
Okay.
And I want you to just assume that spirit, or whatever the meaningful phrase of that for you, is there. And I want you to just talk to it as if it's there and thank it for being there and ask it questions as if it's there, if that's something that you would do, and ask for help as if it's there.
Mm-hmm.
And just work on that assumption for a week. And it's kind of like the thing I said right back at the beginning of the show. If, you know, Einstein, I think, once said, you know, the most important question that we can ask is it a friendly universe? And because if it is, then the meaning of all the stuff that happens is positive. Even if the individual event isn't great, we know that it has some higher meaning for us. And if it isn't a friendly universe, then it doesn't matter if things seem good or not. It's going to turn out badly in the end. And it's like I was saying at the beginning, you know, you can live your life as if it's a Stephen King novel, or you can live your life as if it's a Disney movie. And, of course, there's a whole range of things in between. So just for this week, you willing to try that as an experiment?
Yeah.
So just absolutely brilliant. And what I'm going to ask you to do, if you're willing to do it, geniuscatalyst.com, we have forums, and just, you know, as things happen, just check in on the forums. Let other people who listen to the show know what's going on. And again, if you do get stuck, that's fine. You know, unsticking is what we do best.
Okay.
All right?
Thank you.
Thank you very much, Sue. Let's go to Cheryl in Largo, Florida. Cheryl, welcome to the show. What can
Hi
I do
there.
For you?
Hello.
Hi.
Okay. Well, I kind of have a hard time visualizing. Usually when I try to visualize, I just kind of get like a light or a fuzzy light kind of. It's hard for me to actually get an object in my mind.
Okay. So I want to then teach you my absolute favorite technique that I've seen this take people who swear they've never seen even light in their mind. And within a couple hours of using this technique, they're visualizing. And it does have one side effect, which is it's been scientifically proven at the University of Minnesota to create a permanent measurable increase in IQ. So if you're okay with that, I'll teach it to you. But I just wanted to do the disclaimer. So
okay.
What I want you to do, it's called image streaming. If you want to read more about it, you can find out more. It was developed by a man named Dr. Win Wenger at www.projectrenaissance.com is his website. And there's also, I've got an interview with him on in the Solutions Cafe at geniuscatalyst.com. But the technique is just simple and wonderful. And I want you to just close your eyes right now as you're talking to me. And just become aware of the stream of seemingly random images or colors or lights that are just running through your brain. And it's okay if it's just sort of, well, it's vague blackness. But what I want you to do is I want you to begin to describe aloud to me what you're seeing, no matter how vague it is. So literally just say what you see. I see a gray blob. I see. And just start describing to me what you see.
Well, I kind of see kind of a gray blob, except for it takes on like a tint of color, kind of like stars do when you look at them.
Mm-hmm.
How they kind of shift.
Yeah.
In color, that's kind of what I'm seeing.
Okay, and how big is it?
It pretty much almost fills my field of vision.
Okay, great. So we're going to ask you to just go ahead and pull back your field of vision and see what else is there. You know, sort of like a camera pulling back. You can also do it by widening the screen. That's the other way to get that.
I guess like darker gray.
Okay, this is great. So tell me about the dark gray. What kind of shape is the dark gray in?
I can't really make it out.
Okay, just again, and this is the trick to the whole technique. I wasn't expecting you to start talking in brilliant images because that's how we started, as you said, that's not how you see things right now. But as you describe aloud what you see, what you'll quickly find is that you start to make distinctions. And as you make those distinctions in the visual field, things will get clearer and clearer. And another side effect of this, by the way, if you're trying this at home, is your dreams start getting wonderfully vivid the more you do this. And it can take 5 to 15 minutes to really get it started. But let me just take another minute with you now, Cheryl. So again, and here's another way we can jumpstart it, is I want you to do your best to imagine a purple cow.
A what?
A purple cow.
A purple cow?
You know, a purple cow.
Okay.
Okay, and just describe whatever comes up on your screen when you try and imagine a purple cow.
Well, it's weird. I can kind of see it. But it's hard for me to tell if it's actually, I don't know how to describe it. It's not like as if I were seeing a purple cow in front of me. It's kind of flat.
Mm-hmm.
Small. Almost like maybe it's in my brain.
Mm-hmm.
Small, you know what I mean?
Yeah, no, absolutely. And again, what's beginning to happen, even just in that, is you're beginning to be able to find more detail.
Mm-hmm.
And it really is as simple. It's actually to do with, and they've done measurements on the brain, that when your right brain, which creates the visual images, and your left brain, which is the descriptive, you know, which uses the words, as they work together in this way, when you describe aloud, and that's really important that you do this out loud.
Okay.
It's helpful to do it to somebody else, but it doesn't matter. It's just because it's easier to talk to somebody else for most people than to talk into space.
Right.
But you can even talk into a tape recorder if you like. But just by doing that, you're literally building new connections between the left hemisphere and the right hemisphere.
Oh.
And that's where the intelligence increase comes from, is because they found that intelligence isn't a measure of the size or power of your right brain or left brain, but it's to do with the interconnectivity between the two halves.
Hmm.
Pretty cool, huh?
Yeah, definitely.
What's odd
about this is that I'm an artist, and I find it interesting that I have a hard time visualizing, like, an item that I might have in my head or what I'm thinking of. I have a hard time actually.
Sure, and that's to do with it being probably a lot more specific. You've got a highly developed right brain, not so much on the left. We've got to go. Thank you so much for all of you who phoned in. Thank you so much for listening. Thanks to Sonny and Joe back in the studio. If you want to find out more about what I do, visit me at www.geniuscatalyst.com. We'll be back next week with a show on motivation versus inspiration. I'm Michael Neal. Thank you for listening.